This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Mickey Hart is bringing a Sligo man with him to Offaly. Luke Bree is on his way to the faithful county as team coach. Ballymote's Brian Colch is getting ready to try and retain his world rowing title for Ireland in the next 24 hours. His dad Tom joins us from Canada on the eve of the big race. If you think rowing's tough, try doing the Warriors run in Strandhill not once, but twice. One mountain climb after the other. That's what one of this weekend's 1,200 Warrior entrants is doing on Saturday. We'll find out if he has a screw loose. And no rest for the Sligo Rose Megan McCormack as she swaps the Rose of Tralee sash for the football boots this weekend as the Sligo LGFA Intermediate Championship begins. And you're welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. 083 3500 530 is the WhatsApp and text number. Sport at oceanfm.ie is the email address. And you'll get us on Twitter as well at OceanFM Sport. Also coming up, the Sligo Olympic Triathlon returns to Hazelwood this Sunday. Race director Paul O'Hare will be here to give us the lowdown. Kilcar's Kieran Cannon has the body well chiselled for his Mizzenhead to Malinhead cycle against suicide next month. We'll hear more about that later. But one of Mickey Hart's first acts as the new joint manager of the Offaly Senior Gaelic Footballers has been to bring a Sligo man into his management team today. Calera Strandhill's Luke Bree has been announced as Offaly's new football coach for the season ahead. Bree, you may know, works as a PE teacher in Summerhill College in Sligo. He's a former county player and was working with Andy Moran in Leitrim for the past 2 years, helping them win promotion to Division 3. He's also worked with Roscommon in previous years and with St Vincent's in Dublin, where he coached and as a player helped them win an All-Ireland club title with the Merino club back in 2014. At the moment, he and his Calera Strandhill teammates are putting the finishing touches to their preparations as they begin the defence of their Sligo Homeland Senior Football Championship title against Eastkey in their opening Group 1 game. That's on Saturday evening in Turlestran at 7 o'clock. We wish Luke the best of luck in his new venture. Elsewhere, Sligo Rowing Club members and friends will be on YouTube around this time tomorrow evening to watch one of their former protégés, Brian Colch, go for Ireland in the men's heavyweight double sculls final at the World Under 23 Rowing Championships in Canada. Colch and his Cork teammate Adam Murphy will be in lane 5 for Ireland in the final. The Ballymote native, remember, won this world title with Belfast Conan Pazaya this time last year, so he's back trying to retain his crown, and a win this Friday would be a fitting bookmark to what's been a challenging 12 months in the sport, as Brian's dad Tommy Colch has been explaining to Ocean FM Sport from the St Catharines area in Canada earlier this evening.
It's been a very difficult long year for Brian, and to get this far again, it's fantastic. As we know, the year he had in Bulgaria last year with his then partner Conan Pazaya, they had a great year. They obviously won gold, and I suppose the challenging thing about this year for him was because I suppose the Olympics and the qualifications at the World Championships last year, when they missed the qualifications, and the year that progressed, where he went into the single scull for a while. He raced at World Cup 1 in the single scull. He raced at World Cup 2 in a double scull in Lucerne earlier in the year with a different partner, Andrew Sheehan from Cork, and now a new partner in Adam Murphy. So it's been a topsy-turvy sort of a year for him, a difficult and challenging one, but to get to this stage now and in a world final here in Canada, yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, just before we talk about the big race and the week he's having so far, when you say difficult, Tommy, you know, to the outsider, we would think, well, this is a young guy, still a coming force in the sport, still developing and honing his craft. What was he very disappointed not to make the Olympics?
Yeah, I suppose at the Senior World Championships last year, they had a quad boat, four of them in a quadruple scull, and it was going really well. And they were unfortunate to get very ill at the wrong time ahead of the heats and the repechage. So they missed the qualification spot there. And then roll into the, the year leading into it, the quad scull, they didn't give that the opportunity. So they put Brian and his then partner from last year at the under 23 World Championships, Conan Bazzai, into singles goals. And I don't know if you remember, but they raced him in Italy in World Cup One earlier in the year. And Conan went on then to try and qualify the single for the Olympics, and he missed out narrowly there, unfortunately. Brian then went into a double scull with a guy called Andrew Sheehan with a race at World Cup 2 in Lucerne. But Andrew, unfortunately, got very sick after that, and he was in and out of the boat. And only in recent weeks, Brian was put in with Adam Murphy. Adam is a fine athlete. They raced together. Brian and Adam raced at the European Championships in 2020, where they got a silver. That's the last time they raced together. So they would know each other, they would train together, but just never raced together. So this is that first combination. So I suppose it's the focuses and goals have been changing, you know. So to make this final in a new combination, you know, it is very exciting for us. It is, and for him.
And it's a fair achievement because these guys are still getting to know each other in the boat, I imagine.
Exactly that. They're probably maybe 3 weeks together. They're at camp there for about the last three, maybe four. No, about 3 weeks, I think they're together full time in the boat. But I mean, they're you know, compared to the crews that they're racing, like for example, you know, the Polish crew who won the other semi final that Brian wasn't in, they're the silver medalists from last year. So they're together a number of years. You know, there's a very fast Australian doubles go as well that are together a long time. So it's each race you're hoping that Brian and Adam will gel more. But I mean, their strengths are, you know, they're two extremely strong athletes, and you know, they do know each other, albeit that they're just in the boat together recently.
Tell us a bit about St. Catharines, Tommy. What part of Canada are we talking about?
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the world, in fairness. It's my first time on the East Coast near Toronto. It's a small city just kind of south of Toronto. The racetrack is fantastic. It's where they hold the Canadian Henley, which is a huge event here every year. And that previously they've held World Senior Championships as well. It's and the people are fantastic. The area is fantastic. So no, it's a really, really good event, and the brilliant Irish support here, in fairness, because it's a combination. Because of the Olympics, they're combining it with the non-Olympic senior events, the under 23 events and the under 19 events. So Ireland are well represented now in a lot of categories here. So there's great support.
Certainly sounds like it from the online feeds we've been watching. We watched Brian and Adam's first round race on Sunday. They won that well, finishing ahead of Germany and GB. Then second behind Australia in the semi-final last night. Are the Australians and the Polish the two boats that the Irish crew will be watching in particular?
Yeah, as I said, the Polish double are the silver medalists from last year. So they've had another year to gel, blend and train together. So they certainly will be very dangerous. The Australians, they went out very fast, as you saw in the semi-finals. And Brian and Adam by surprise with how fast they went out. I was talking to Brian yesterday evening. So look, at they know them now. So it's how it was. The race is going to unfold tomorrow. They know the Australians are going to start fast. They know the Polish can start fast and hold it. So the conditions are going to be a little bit different tomorrow, and there'll be a slight cross tailwind. So, you know, that'll make the race a little bit shorter than the semi-finals. So it's going to be hot, hard and fast is the way to do it. I think that's going to be the approach.
And Irish rowing, of course, Tommy, coming off the back of a successful Olympic Games in Paris. Paul O'Donovan is in Canada competing at the senior championships this week, the senior, junior and under 23s grouped together. Is some of that afterglow carrying across into this week's cruise?
It's very exciting for everybody having Paul here. You know, Paul being he's Ireland's greatest ever Olympian. He's won medals at three consecutive games, you know, two gold and a silver. So it is exciting for the team to have him here. Brian would have trained for the last number of years with Paul in Cork and in various camps around Europe. So they know each other very well and would have raced together in training a number of times. But it's fantastic to have the likes of Paul here at this championship, and it does buoy everything on as well. And we've Siobhan McCrohan as well racing in the lightweight women's single. She's the reigning world champion from last year as well. She's from Galway, Tribesman Rowing Club in Galway. So there's great excitement around the team, in fairness.
And where will you and Rosie watch the final from, Tommy? Are you a man on a bike cycling along the shoreline, or will you be in a fixed position near the finish line?
Well, I thought in horror film terms, we'll be behind the couch with a cushion, maybe. No, we'll be in the the grandstand with all the Irish supporters. It's a brilliant view in there from it, you know, the huge screens up, so you can watch the earlier parts of the race before they come into the enclosure. So it's, it'll be exciting and nerve-wracking, So hopefully, and fingers crossed.
One nervous dad, Tommy Colch, speaking to us earlier this evening from Canada. Brian Colch's Double Sculls World Final for Ireland due off at 7:42 p.m. Irish time tomorrow evening. And it's being streamed live on YouTube, and it may be on some of the cable sports channels as well. But we will share the YouTube link for you during the course of tomorrow on the various Ocean FM Sport social media platforms. We wish him the best of luck. So much happening in sport this weekend. The 38th Warriors Run comes to Strandhill again this Saturday afternoon. This famous 10-mile run and climb from the Cannon at Strandhill Village up to the top of Knocknarea Mountain and back down again. The main race due to start at 2:30. And among the 1,200 runners and walkers who'll be taking the route will be one gentleman who'll be doing the Warriors Run not once but twice on Saturday, once after the other. Alan Gilmartin, or Pal as he's better known in Sligo, is doing the Warriors Run circuit with the rest of the crowd on Saturday. But when he reaches Kelly's Corner, the point where you turn right to run down the village towards the finish line on Saturday, Pal is going to keep going and climb the Glen Road again and the mountain again a second time. Here's the man himself to explain why.
Basically, about 2-3 months ago, a close friend of mine was diagnosed with motor neuron disease, and I wanted to create a bit of awareness, give something back to the charity itself, motor neuron, and the Warriors Run was coming up, so I kind of thought, it's a great achievement for anyone, and as I said, make it a wee bit harder, I'll try and give it a go and do it twice, so. That's the kind of bit of a background to it.
And as far as we're aware, Pal, I don't think anyone's run the Warriors Run twice in one go before.
No, this would probably be the first time. As I said previously, the Warriors Run, it's a tough 15K run. Obviously, you're going up Knocknarea Mountain, and that's a test on the leg. So I suppose for anyone, you know, once is enough. But look, we're going to try and do it twice. It's for a great cause, hopefully on the day everything will go according to plan and we'll get up and around it and back home safely.
And as you've mentioned already, you're doing this to raise money for motor neuron disease, certainly a very worthy cause as well, especially when it has a bit more of a personal link to it, as you've mentioned.
Yeah, definitely. Look, every charity is worthwhile, and everyone has their own personal day-to-day issues, so I've been keeping an eye on motor neuron disease over the last 2 to 3 years, I suppose nationally here in Ireland with Charlie Bird and across the water with Rob Burrows, the rugby player. So then, you know, it came closer to home, a friend of mine diagnosed with it, so it's just something I wanted to give back. They do amazing work from day to day, providing services for their patients to deal with. It's very small, Donal, in the grand scheme of things. Me going up a mountain twice, if I could do it 100 times to give somebody a quality of life that they can get on with day-to-day living, it'd be great. But unfortunately, there is no cure at the moment, but please God, someday there will.
Obviously, Pal, you're quite an avid runner as well. You've done the Warriors Run a couple of times. I'm sure plenty of people would see you out running the roads around Sligo and a bit further afield if they were to look out the windows at their cars and other houses. How has the training been going for what is going to be a mammoth task?
Yeah, training's been good. It's probably gone on the last two and a half months. Basically out 6 days out of the seven. Hills and more hills. And thanks to Seamus Summers, another man that's well known in town, he put a plan together for me. So there's no hiding place. you know, it's about accountability too at the end of the day. And hopefully it'll all come to help me on the day and get me up and down the mountain twice.
Seamus Summers, of course, going for the hat trick this year. We're looking for his third Warriors run win in a row. No better man to get a bit of help off, I suppose.
No, I'm a better man, in fairness to Seamus. I'm working in Clifford Electrical at the moment, and you know, I see Seamus on a day-to-day basis. And when I went to him regarding a plan, he was, the next day he had it put together, and as you say, no better man, going for his third victory in the Warriors run. So hopefully he does it, and I'll be in just an hour or two behind him.
I'm sure it'll be a little bit quicker than that. Obviously, this is a big fundraiser as well, Alan, as we've mentioned. How much have you raised to date, and how much are you looking to raise on the whole?
Yeah, Donal, look, it's, when I set out to do it, you know, honestly, I thought if I got between 3,000 and 5,000 euro, I would have been delighted. So we're currently, as of speaking to you now, we're up over 15,000. That's a testament to people in Sligo and further afield. You know, anyone I've gone to, it's, you know, the answer is no problem. How much do you want? What can we do? I've had two bucket collections, one in Centra and Maherboy and one in Canning's on the Pierce Road. So look, you know, people have been brilliant. It's kind of humbling in one way. You know, everyone comes together. As I say, everyone has their struggle from day to day. But things like that, people just come together, and it's great to see. And all I can say is thank you to each and every one of them.
And finally, pal, if people do want to keep donating before the Warriors run this Saturday, will there be any more bucket collections taking place, or where can people donate if they want to get involved?
Yeah, the bucket collections, I'd say we're done and dusted with the bucket collections. But look, it's online. If you search Pal Gilmartin Warriors Run on iDonate, it'll bring you straight through to the page. Or they can get in touch with me on Pal Gilmartin on Facebook, and I can direct them to it. But yeah, the online page, iDonate, Pal Gilmartin Warriors Run, it'll bring you straight to the link.
That's Pal Gilmartin, one of the Warriors in Strandhill this Saturday. He's going to try and to complete back-to-back Warriors runs, raising cash for motor neuron disease. He was talking to our reporter Donal Ryan there, and his fundraising already having an impact. Since that interview was recorded, the money that Pal has collected has passed 20,000 euro. The 38th edition of the Warriors run begins from the Cannon in Strandhill this Saturday afternoon at 2:30. There's also a Warriors walk and a junior Warriors run as well on Saturday afternoon. There will be a series of road closures and diversions around the village of Strandhill from Saturday morning. They'll gradually come into effect from 11 a.m. onwards, and we've shared the list on the Ocean FM Sport Twitter and Facebook feed, which summarises all the road closures in Strandhill this Saturday. See warriorsrun.ie for more. Well, the Warriors is on Saturday, and if you really want to go for it sporting-wise this weekend, the Sligo Olympic Triathlon returns to Hazelwood on Sunday. 210 competitors will line up at Half Moon Bay shortly before 11 a.m. on Sunday morning for what is a round of the National Triathlon Series. And the public are more than welcome to come along and watch this event as some of the country's best triathletes go head-to-head. Paul O'Hare is the Sligo Olympic Triathlon Race Director.
So it actually starts out with a swim that's 1.5 kilometres long. It's going to be held in the iconic Half Moon Bay. The athletes then will transit across onto a bike, and then they will cycle a 40k route heading for Drumahaire, up Trift, down through Caldery, back to Hazelwood, and then they'll transit again from that into a beautiful run, 10k run around the circuit of Hazelwood.
And who's competing in the Sligo Olympic Triathlon? Is it elite cream of the crop athletes, ordinary Joe Soaps who are trying to just get around? Who's involved here?
there'll be a mixer of both. You're going to have a lot of people that's coming through from the National Series, because this is a National Series event. So they'll actually be coming here to get their points and get their rankings for the event. And then you'll have a lot of people that have just maybe started out in the triathlon scene or have been training for X amount of years. They'll be taking part as well. It's a very well-known event, so there's going to be a lot of people interested in this event, and they'll be taking place. So it's going to be a mixture of both. So you're going to see everybody at it.
Sunday morning, 11 o'clock is when it starts. And you're encouraging the public to come along and watch if they'd like.
Absolutely. The transition area is actually based right in the middle of the heart of the whole event, in the car park down at Hazelwood. So you're going to see the triathletes moving from the water to their bikes, from their bikes to their run. And that's all going to take place in the car park. So if people want to come down and see it, if they make their way down to Hazelwood, down to the small car park, and stand along the left-hand side, you'll see all the barriers and you'll see all the cones. It'll be very well marked out. That is a great spot to watch the whole event. And it'll take place in a short amount of time.
You have 200 odd men and women competing this Sunday. That's a big crowd.
Absolutely. It's absolutely, we sold out relatively soon, or quickly, shall I say. And it's, there's a lot of interest in this event.
And because it's part of the National Triathlon Series, you are attracting competitors from across the country.
Absolutely. So you're going to have a lot of people coming a lot of distance to actually take part in this event. Again, it's one of the more challenging events. We've got Shrift, which is a good climb, so that's going to be very competitive for a lot of the people that's out there. They want to get good times. They've been here before, so they're going to come back and try to beat their times in the past. So yeah, you're going to get a great mixture.
A lot of the stuff that goes into planning an event like this, Paul, we won't see here on the radio. But a lot of work has gone into it, and you've had good support from Sligo County Council, number one, and Caolte, who look after Hazelwood, number two.
Yes, I mean, you've got Sligo County Council, you've got Caolte, you've got the guards, obviously, helping us out. You've got civil defence, you've got the Sligo kayakers. There's so many people involved, and a great committee that's helping me to organise this.
I know to the outsider, for people not familiar with the triathlon, there is something spectacular to watch it from a distance, but also slightly intimidating about the event, because it is three grueling sports wrapped into one. Is that a dated preconception?
I think it is. Taking into account my own experience here, I got involved about 6-7 years ago. I was largely overweight, lost all of my weight, and I decided to get involved in swimming. And that kind of progressed on to a little bit of running and then a little bit of cycling. And then all of a sudden, I got introduced to an amazing community that's involved in this sport and in triathlon clubs in general that are so encouraging, so helpful, that will pull you along on that journey. And I went from that to doing some of the smaller events, and then unfortunately I moved into the larger events, which is the Ironmans now. And it's that being surrounded by people that are so positive and so helpful, and so, and their guidance is amazing. It's for anybody that wants to do it, and especially for somebody like myself that's, you know, I'm in my 50s now, and I've completely transformed my life with all the help that I've got from clubs like this club locally here at Sligo.
I'm interested in what you said there. 6 years ago you didn't do triathlons, and now you're getting ready for your second Ironman.
Yeah, in fact, it's actually my sixth. So I've had done four halves, and I've this is my second full. I was 19 and a half stone, extremely overweight, a lot of problems at the time. And I managed to turn that around, lose the weight, and got involved in the club like this that has helped me along the way. And they encourage you so well, and they're so helpful. You get sucked along with the momentum, and it's before you know it, you're doing Ironmans. And I'm not saying that's for everybody, as you expect, but it's achievable. Anybody, someone like myself that was extremely overweight and had some other challenges there, turned that all around, all with the help of a club like Sligo Triathlon Club.
So you're a new man.
Yes. Thankfully, I've come out the other side of it, and I have a lot of friends that have come on that journey with me as well. And I think it's all again down to the help that and the friendships you build in clubs like this.
From listening to you, the passion you have for triathlon, Paul, and one thing that strikes me from listening to you is how central the community feel to the club is, and the sport, the group of people you surround yourself with.
Yeah, I think it's again it's the people that are involved, and you know, as I said myself, you know, when you get involved in family life and work and everything else that happens there, you get isolated along the way. And when you join a club like this, or you get guidance from a club like this, you all of a sudden, your friendships that you had in the past and people that are in that club come together and help you. And it's an amazing community. Absolutely fantastic.
What would you say to someone listening to this interview who maybe has a half curiosity about the triathlon, but he or she may feel, I wouldn't be able to do that. I'm not a good swimmer. I can't really swim, for example. I'm picking swimming out of the three, but it can sometimes be the one that, I don't know, psychologically is the stumbling block for a lot of people. What would you say to people like that?
I think that's one of the, there's always one of those particular three sports that is fearful to most. Some people don't like cycling, some people don't like running, some people don't like swimming. Swimming is probably the most common one that people fear, and swimming is probably the easiest one in my eyes to get over. All it takes a bit of practice and a little bit of discipline, and anybody can learn to swim. Once you've mastered that, the rest is actually quite easy. The running and the cycling, again, you're going to be encouraged by your own teammates to do that type of thing. And it's absolutely very approachable and very easy for anybody to do. And myself, I had a massive fear of swimming when I first started. I couldn't swim a length off the pool. And after a little bit of encouragement from some friends, you know, and a couple of weeks of you know, training, it all came together and it started making sense. And I do what I do today because of people like that and a little bit of discipline.
So maybe for people to get the triathlon bug, Paul, the place to be this Sunday is Half Moon Bay in Hazelwood.
Absolutely. Come down and see, you know, all walks of life, all ages, all different types of people taking part and making a fantastic effort. And you will see that there is hope for anybody that wants to get involved. And if anybody wants to inquire or get any further information, they can do so by logging on to sligotriathlonclub.ie, and you'll get all the information there on the event and additional courses and support.
The running leg of the triathlon, the 10K, is actually going to be along the walking trail at Hazelwood.
That's right, yeah. So this year we're going to extend the running track out and take into the new developed Quilcha route that they've created out there. So that's going to be two circuits this year of the, I think it's 4.8K, and there's a little bit added on to make up the 10K at the other end. But yes, so that's going to be visually seen. Most people will see everybody running through the forest and out onto the road, and it's going to be quite easy to watch. It's going to be amazing.
So remind us finally, for people who might like to come along and see some or all of the triathlon, what are the start and finish times this Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, the actual race starts at 11 o'clock. So we'd encourage people to be down much earlier than that, maybe in around 10 if that's okay. And there will be enough parking on the route in. The road is closed, but you will be able to access it and you'll be shown where to park. If you pop down there from 10 onwards, it'll be great. From 11 o'clock, you'll see it's going to get quite busy. So try to be there before that.
I know it's hard to predict when the first runners will be coming through, male and female, but approximately when would you be hoping to hold up the finishing tape?
Yeah, I think you're going to see most of the runners coming back in, most of the cyclists coming back in and the runners kicking off. It will be from 1:30 onwards, you'll see the runners in play. Fingers crossed, any time after 2 or 2:30, you'll see the elites coming through and finishing up.
And as race director, do you get to compete, or do you have to be behind a megaphone or have a stopwatch in your hand on Sunday?
Unfortunately, most people are going to be listening to this voice the whole way across that weekend. So I'm going to apologise now. But unfortunately, no, I get the joy of actually watching all these people compete and see some of these people achieve their goals over the weekend and be part of that. So I'm happy to do that this weekend.
That's Sligo Olympic Triathlon Race Director Paul O'Hare. It's an 11 a.m. start in Hazelwood this Sunday morning if you want to go along and watch the crack and the fun. See sligotriathlon.ie for more info.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan. Ocean FM.
Well, in Gaelic games, the Connacht Gold Sligo LGFA Intermediate Football Championship starts this weekend. We will hear from the four participating teams in a few moments. A change in the format and makeup of the senior and intermediate competitions this year means that it's just four teams in each of the primary competitions. In the senior, it's the holders, St. Nathie's. Remember, they're going for seven in a row in 2024. St. Mary's, Tour Lestran, and last year's intermediate winners Eoin Rua. We've been talking to Eoin Rua's Fiona Feeney, Molly Kennedy of Tour Lestran, Emily Nicholson from St. Mary's, and the St. Nathie's team captain Hannah Walsh, who lifted the Division 1 league title just the other week, about their respective championship prospects.
Yeah, I suppose we're going for seven, but we're very well aware that the cups are handed back now and it's anyone's game, so yeah, it can be any of us that are here.
You've had a dartboard on your back for a few seasons now, but you seem to be able to stay standing at the end of the championship. What's the secret?
Yeah, we're very lucky. We have a great group of girls there, and to be honest, I think it's just hard work. Every single one, there's over 50 girls there between the girls and management. I can honestly say it's just hard work is what gets us over the line every year.
And Molly, Tour Lestran, one of the clubs who will be gunning to try and dislodge St. Nathie's from their perch. How are Tour Lestran shaping up ahead of this summer's championship?
It's all kind of coming together now. Like over the winter and coming into the summer months, we were all, everyone in Sligo, were fighting for pitches and places to train, so we're coming back into it now, getting our girls back from the county set up, and we're all starting to come together, I think.
And I'm guessing that includes some very talented minor footballers. Ciara Walsh, the Sligo captain, brought a lot of razzmatazz and silverware to Tour Lestran last weekend. Can you use the glow of that to generate momentum for the senior team?
Well, Ciara is the winning captain, but we've known for years since she came from America when she was underage that she had something special, and we're so lucky that she's with us. But yeah, I suppose her experience from the people she's played and the teams she's played outside of Connacht and all through the All-Ireland series can really, she has that under her belt, and she'll definitely be welcomed back.
I remember Tour Lestran a couple of years ago reaching an All-Ireland club final. So, like, the tools are there in the camp. Is it just about having everybody available to have a right crack at a championship?
Yeah, there's a lot of us. I was on the panel that year as well, but there's a lot of us that are still on that panel that was there in 2018. And we were just incredibly lucky to have that year, even though we did come out with a loss in the end. But like, it was such an experience that you'll never forget. Like,
Emily Nicholson from St. Mary's, you have established yourselves now as a challenging senior team. You're quietly building there at Kent Park in recent seasons.
Yeah, we've been there or thereabouts for the past few years. We've new management the past 2 years. So last year came with a lot of learnings, kind of changes. So we're hoping this year we could get over the line.
And it's a group of four, so you're trying to finish in the top two and get to a county final. The equation looks simple enough on paper.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be less games. So yeah, we need to obviously make the most of every game this time. And hopefully we get straight through to a final.
And I'll bring in Eoin Rua as well. Intermediate champions last year. Which was a pretty special championship run for you guys.
It was, yeah. We were delighted with how intermediate went last year first, when we progressed on to Connacht, not so delighted, but you have that too.
Well, the one thing, Fiona, Eoin Rua have always struck me as a very ambitious club, because they have, you know, they have worked their way up the ranks, and I'm sure winning a senior championship is on somebody's ambition list somewhere in West Sligo.
It's on everyone's ambition list, I'd say, in West Sligo anyways. To win a senior title would be some achievement. We had a good run last year, and I suppose now into senior will be tougher, difficult more.
And I know you had a good run of the Connacht Club Championship, narrowly beaten by Ballinamore, Shauna Heslins in the Provincial, if I'm right. And I always remember they still talk about the Eoin Rua game as the making of them to their All-Ireland final run.
Yeah, the Ballinamore, the Shauna Heslins game is a touchy subject for me now, yet okay. Still.
You're still getting over that one, are you?
I'm not over it yet, I suppose.
But can you use that experience? I mean, maybe you have to lose a couple to win a couple. Can that galvanise Eoin Rua, that it adds to your experience list now?
Oh, absolutely. Look, we'll take a lot from that game last year. We have a lot of mistakes. We have a lot of things to learn, take from that game. It was difficult for us, but I'm sure it will stand to us in senior championship this year.
And just a final talk, girls, on the format of the championship, the four teams. Is that easier, harder? Would you like more variety in terms of the teams you're playing? Or maybe it's the quality's going to be good. The top four senior clubs in the county are going to go hammer and tongs at it. Do Nathies have a view on that?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose at the end of the day, for all of us, I think we can say the more games we have, the better. It's just unfortunate at the minute, the way things are in Sligo, that there is lesser clubs, even in senior, but going down to junior C. But I mean, we all know each other quite well. We know what we're working with. We know what we're against. So just have to make the most of it and go for it.
And does familiarity breed contempt? or not?
Why are you asking me? Familiar, yeah. So I suppose we always are quite familiar with the team, the top teams. St. Mary's seem to always be up against Nathies and Turlestrand in the end, but Onrua are definitely one of the ones that we fear now, and I think it would be a really, really good group, and the games are going to be excellent. They're going to be a really high standard. They're going to be good for the spectators, so I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and the fact that there has been this underage success, you've all known about it in your own clubs for a few years now, but now there is a national title. Like, does that create a feel-good factor for the senior, more established clubs and players around the place, do you think?
Of course it does. It shows that Sligo is, it's thereabouts. It gives a good standing point for girls to show that what Sligo can do if they put their minds to it.
And whatever happens in the championship, Molly, finally, you'll still talk to one another afterwards, won't you?
Oh God, yeah, I went to school with half an atheist, so we'll have to end up talking to each other all the time, and that's the curse. But anyway, it's all right.
Turlestrand's Molly Kennedy on the sometime curse of club football, and before that, Onrua's Fiona Feeney, Emily Nicholson from St Mary's, and St Nathie's club captain Hannah Walsh. Now, the opening senior championship fixtures aren't for another couple of weeks yet. Sunday, the 8th of September, is when the ball is thrown in, and the first round robin games, Onrua against the holders Nathies, and St Mary's play Turlestrand, and they'll play three games each, and then the top two get in to the county final. As for that intermediate championship, it starts this Sunday morning. Again, just four teams contesting this championship in 2024. CT Gales hosting Drumcliff Ross's Point on Sunday morning at 10:30. And at the same time, Giva take on Eastern Harps. Let's hear now from the four clubs on their championship hopes and ambitions.
My name is Amy McGovern. I'm from Eastern Harps GA Club.
Gemma Brahney, Giva.
Sinead Forkin, CT Gales.
Dervla Ross, CT Gales.
Avril Clancy, Drumcliff Ross's Point.
And Elaine Flanagan, Drumcliff Ross's Point.
Well, Gemma, you've come down from senior. I've always associated Giva with being those teams knocking on the door, the senior championship door, but does it give you a chance to recalibrate this year?
Oh yeah, I'd say we're definitely not finished knocking yet. We're rebuilding. Every day is game day for us, so whatever we can do to get our way, work our way back up to the top.
There was lots of great GA passion in Highwood last year and Giva with the One Good Club initiative, etc. So can you harness that sort of feel good factor for this year for the championship?
Yeah, I mean, the team, like, we're all feeling very optimistic. We're putting the effort in at training, we're all doing what we can, doing our own bit, and just we can feel all the good energy coming in, and we can feel we're put it into our games.
Dervla, CT Gales, are you confident? We know you have a developing, talented group of footballers out there in South Sligo. Is it about to come together now?
Yeah, I'd say we're confident. I mean, we won our championship last year, so we're definitely confident for the stepping stone going up. We've been building well this year.
Yeah, and a couple of talented minors coming up behind you who won All-Ireland titles. Is that a help at training?
Oh, of course it is, yeah. It's great to get them girls back in. You know, we, Cara and Kate there on the minor team, and it's great to get them back in for a championship now and this lot in no problem into our team and, you know, give that boost that we need going forward.
And Amy, what about Eastern Harps? Do you like it's a four-team group? It's sharp and intense?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, it's very, like, short and intense, like, but it will be good, like, just to have an action-packed month. Three games, like, and no doubt the girls will put it up to us as well, but we're, like, good numbers of training and everything, and there's a good spirit among us, so looking forward to it.
And you're familiar enough with these teams. You've played each other often enough in recent seasons.
Yeah, no, definitely. So we know, we've an idea of what we're up against, and we know it won't be easy, but looking forward to it now.
And as for Drumcliff Ross's Point, you had a good year but a strange year last year in terms of you contested two county finals, Avril, senior and intermediate. I know the results didn't go the way you wanted, but is it more straightforward? You can concentrate on an intermediate championship this time around?
I think it does make it easier, yeah. To just put your mind on one and work hard towards one goal for this year is enough. It was disappointing end of the season last year, but I think we're definitely more determined this year to win intermediate, and that's where our focus is, yeah.
But you and other clubs showed you could make the jump up and compete with the senior teams last year.
Yeah, that's true. We definitely have good fight, and we're quite the youthful team, which is great, and it's great to see such a standard of footballers coming up, even from teenagers right up to the girls closer to our own age. Well, oldies, as we call ourselves, but yeah.
You're not that old yet.
Not compared to some, but no, yeah, it's exciting. It's going to be a good year this year. Yeah.
And Elaine, you're involved with the junior team at Drumcliff Rossa Point as well. We're seeing the benefit of clubs with two teams, whether it's Own Rua, CT Gales, etc., yourselves and St Nathie's. Having that bigger pool of players is obviously helping players develop.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to see, like, you get younger girls playing up into junior, and it's their first experience playing senior football, and it's really good for even the development of your senior team, because we now have great competition in our club to see who's going to make this starting 15 for the championship. Like, it really makes such a difference, and it's really good to get experience for the younger girls as well.
And a last question, guys, for anyone who wants to answer it. I mean, it's four teams in the intermediate championship, so that's a delight from a fixtures point of view. You'll all play three games and the top two into the county final. Would you like more variety than that in an ideal world, Gemma?
Yeah, I think every game is an opportunity to learn something new, do something different, try out new tactics, something like that. So I suppose it would be great, considering how many teams are in it, if we could play a bit more of each other. Yeah. Even throughout the year, not just in championship. Yeah. I think all across the league, ACL, everything.
So what, kind of a bigger league where you'd be playing a bigger variety of teams during the year, if that was feasible in terms of... Would that work? What do you think?
Well, not even a league, but having games throughout the summer, because there's a big drought of games, because the last league game was in May, and there might have been one ACL game in the middle of that. Like, it's a big drought with no games. Okay. And you're going straight into the championship, then no games. Like, it's kind of, even if you had two or three ACL games, get you going before the championship, learn a few things.
Okay. So you want matches. I mean, I know you enjoy training, but you want games.
Yeah, well, you definitely need games to build on your experience and stuff. You know, there's nothing more valuable to a team than playing football games instead of training.
And a challenge match isn't quite the same thing, is it?
I suppose it's not. Like, to some extent it is, but it's all about what you put into it. And you just kind of you hope that girls, and I'm sure girls do, put all in into challenge games to get the results that you look forward to going into championship.
And to finish, the fact that there is an All-Ireland minor title in the county at inter-county level, which is quite a scalp by any standards, not every county has that, does that help the adult players? Does it put a pep in your step, do you think, Amy, going into the summer's championship?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a great experience, like, for the girls themselves. Like, to get to an All-Ireland final is just such an achievement, but to get our spirits up as well, like, to get our backs behind them as well, it's great to see them achieve such a big thing at such a young age as well.
Eastern Harps Amy McGovern, Caoimhe's Gemma Breheny, the CT Gales duo Sinead Forkin and Dervla Ross, and the Drumcliff Rosses Point players Avril Clancy and Elaine Flanagan. CT Gales against Drumcliff Rosses Point, Caoimhe against Eastern Harps are the Sunday morning games. Finally tonight, look out for a Kilcar man on the streets of the Donegal village tomorrow between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Kieran Cannon is getting ready to cycle his way from Mizzenhead at the bottom of Ireland to Malinhead at the top of it. It's in aid of the Cycle Against Suicide programme, and Kieran's been talking to Ocean FM Sport about his plans over the coming weeks.
We're leaving Mizzenhead in Cork, and we are cycling for Cycle Against Suicide. It's a great charity. There's 65 of us, and it's a 6-day event, and the first day is Mizzenhead to Killarney in County Kerry.
And tell us the charity you're doing all this for.
We're doing it for Cycle Against Suicide. Austin is a great charity. They do great work in educating people among suicide, and they educate, they go to schools and everything. So, yeah, they do great work throughout the country, throughout the year.
Now, this cycle is going to take you about 6 days. So how has the training been going?
At the moment, Austin, the training is four cycles a week, one big cycle a week. Started off a number of months ago, And my aim back then was to work up to 100K. So at the moment, I'm doing 100K cycle once a week. And there's a number of smaller cycles as well, and around the 40K. So yeah, so far so good, awesome.
And if people would like to make a contribution towards your cycle, how can they do that?
There's a link also, so there is, in my social media pages, so there is Facebook, search there, Kieran Cannon, and there's a link there, and I must thank everybody who's donated so far. To people are so genuine and kind, so I would like to thank them, and if you haven't yet made a donation, I'd be very appreciative for every little euro helps.
And Kieran will be at Litcher on the outskirts of Kilgar Village all day tomorrow with a bucket collection. A couple of spin bikes will be there as well. We wish him the best of luck with his Mizzen to Malinhead cycle. A reminder, finally, that this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie or wherever you get your podcasts. Simply search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. Good luck to Brian Kulch in Canada in the World Rowing Final on Friday night. We're back with you next week. Same time, same place.